for this introduction. He said two things about me. I don't know about it, but he said, I'm bold and I'm humble. You should see me about 30 years ago when the Lord called me to the ministry, and I told the Lord, I cannot do it, and I don't want to do it because I cannot stand in front of people. If you just give me something in the back, nobody will see me, and just do it without me being noticed. And as the Lord was telling me, you're the best candidate to be used. Like, if I used you, you will not get the glory. I will get the glory. So if you see something in me good, it's by the grace of God. It's not something Tony. It's not something from me. And I praise the Lord for His grace. I praise the Lord for dealing with me. And I praise for the Lord for the desire that He put on my heart to be in the ministry. Honestly, it's the best calling in the world to serve God. I would not trade it. I call it as a treasure. And treasure that you try to protect it from the world, try to protect it from sin, from anything. And I told the Lord, if you lose that, I'd rather lose my life. I don't want to live. I just really want to serve you. And life without serving you, it's not worth living. Today I want to talk about Paul's strategy in planting churches. Let's open our Bible to Acts chapter 17. And as you all know, that Islam and Muslim are making the headline news daily. Somebody blow himself up. And now these days, about a month or so, we see the countries of Muslim country in turmoil. And it's a good thing. Good thing in a way, not just... And I believe that the good thing is going to happen, that the Muslim brotherhood take over the country and will be God's opportunity to present the gospel and God's opportunity to save more people and add more people to the kingdom of God. And I believe Ahmadinejad is the best thing happened to Christianity in Iran. Even though he showed what true Islam is, and people saw what true Islam is, they don't want to have nothing to do with Islam. And now in Iran, there's more people in Christian came to know the Lord more than any other country. And I believe that we are having a front seat in history, where we see the end time prophecy are revealed in front of us, and the stage is being set for the Antichrist to appear. And I really consider it an honor to work among Muslims, to be called to be a minister to Muslim. Why? God loved Muslim, and God's working among Muslims. And if God's working among Muslim, I really want to join Him, because I want to be part of what God's doing. And if we want to work in the ministry to Muslim, and I believe, and the biblical belief, the way I see it from the Bible, we need to work toward church planting. And I understand that not everyone called to be a church planter, but I believe that whatever ministry we are doing, either we plant church and we help someone to plant a church also. We might not called all of us to plant a church, and I understand that, but whatever ministry we're doing, to be a hand to the people are lending a hand to the people are planting churches. Because you see some missionary going overseas and they spend all their life and they didn't start a church, and when they leave, all their work is just disappear. But if they leave a church there, the work will continue without them. And because this is what Paul's strategy, and when he goes to this city and preach the gospel. Let's open our Bible to Acts chapter 17, and we read from verse 1. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. There was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went into them, and three Sabbath day reasoned with them out of scriptures, opening an allusion that Christ must need have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. And of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellow of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them to the people, out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren into the ruler of the city, crying, "These that have turned the word upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." And they troubled the people and the ruler of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent Paul away and Sila by night into Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Let's bow our head in word prayer. Father, thank you for the principle of the word of God that gives light to our mind, that gives life to our soul. Lord, I pray that you may speak through me, Father. Speak to our heart today. Challenge us. Lord, we're cold. Lord, sometime we live indifferent. And Lord, I pray that you may send fire from above to our heart, that we'll be sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, equip us to do the right thing always. Protect us that we may carry your truth to the needy and lost world. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Personally, I love to be around people serving the Lord. And I get inspired by their commitment. I get inspired by sacrifice. I get inspired by love to God's work and God's people. And one of the few in the scriptures, the scripture that I like to sit at his feet, is Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is a great man of God. And if one word you want to describe the Apostle Paul, the word is determined. Determined. Determined to do the right thing. And he didn't say that by words, even though I said in Acts they told him, "Don't go to Jerusalem, they're going to kill you." He said, "They kill me? That's fine. Don't cry and break my heart. I'm ready to give my life over to the Lord." And he didn't say by words only. He was meaning every word, and he proved it by his action from one city to one city, one city. Committed believer and determined to do the right thing for him. What a man to sit at his feet. And one day in heaven, probably, I like for him to tell me the story how he went from one city to another. What he went through his mind. He faced giant, he faced beast, but he kept going. He kept going. He kept going. And honestly, in these days, we need people like the Apostle Paul. We need people sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't care about their life. They don't care about the cost. They don't care about the place. They care about Jesus Christ alone and his glory to be declared among the heathen. And once you say, if Paul is a great missionary, and I believe you all agree on that, the question is, what was his strategy? He's a great man? Great. But this is not enough. This is one of the things that makes him great. What was his strategy? And if you follow the footstep of the Apostle Paul, he used to go to places no missionary went there. He doesn't want to start another work where on top of another work. He said, I want to do something for the Lord where nobody is going there. I just want to go to the front line. I just want to go and explore lands to the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in chapter 17, he went to three cities. He went to Thessalonica, Berea, and Athens. And you see how he was determined. He did the same thing in Thessalonica, the same thing in Berea, and the same thing in Athens. In chapter 16, we saw Paul saw a vision. He was praying where he was trying to go to the south. He was trying to go to the north. The Holy Spirit stopped him. And he saw a vision at night. And that the Macedonian called, say, come and help us. In our cases, whoever's going to the Muslim world, I call it the Macedonian call, where the Muslims are calling, come and help us because they need help. He went to Europe and he explored Europe. And Europe is just what happened in Europe throughout the history by a man called the Apostle Paul. He went, took the gospel there. And on his shoulder, many churches started. And the work of God just flourished. And he went to Philippi. In Philippi, he won three famous people to the Lord. Lydia, and the demon-possessed girl, and the jailer. And it was a great church. If you read the epistle to Philippians, and you see what a great missionary church. And they have a pastor called Luke. And Luke, he sent money to the Apostle Paul while he was in Thessalonica twice, if you see in Philippians chapter 4. So it was a great church. And from there, and they kicked him out from Philippi, and he went to Thessalonica, and he came to Thessalonica. And when Thessalonica, he just had a plan. And he didn't have a plan just to find a job only, but he has a plan to how he's going to communicate the gospel. I want to speak about 3 points Apostle Paul was doing in every city. Paul, the first one, Paul was a bold soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was a bold soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ. The second one, Paul declared the gospel without apology. Paul declared the gospel without apology. And the third one, Paul endured hardship. And without those three, and I believe that whatever we're doing to the Lord is a waste. I don't want to say waste, but it has no significance. If we're not going to be bold, if we're not going to declare the gospel, and if we're not going to endure hardship, I'm afraid that we're going to, somewhere between the years, we're going to fade away, and probably God is going to put us on the shelf. And I believe that this, the pattern of the Apostle Paul, he was bold. The first one, he was bold. Look with me as he goes to Thessalonica. In verse 2, he said, And Paul, as his manner was. I mean, he did the same thing in every city, as his manner was. That's what he convicted and determined to do. His manner was that went into them. I love those words. He didn't wait for the Thessalonica to come and ask him, Paul, what do you believe? He went into them. We all agree Islam is a beast and need to be conquered. And we all agree that the only thing that conquer that beast is not by spiritual warfare. And I really see that Islam is like Goliath. If you open with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. You see, Goliath is like Islam. He's a big giant. And chapter 17 and verse 10, 1 Samuel 17, 10. And you see, there is a lot of resemblance between Goliath and between Islam. And the Philistine said, I defy the army of Israel this day. Give me a man that we might fight together. Islam is defying the army of God. And also in verse 43, and the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with the staffs? And the Philistine cursed David with his God. The Bible told us that Goliath defined the army of God. Islam defined the army of God. And Goliath defying also the servant of God, David, and defying God himself, the same thing with Islam. And we need someone like Goliath, like David. And he went unto them. Look with me in verse 48 in 1 Samuel 17. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David. And David hasted, and look to this word, and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And I believe that we need to run. David, he already won the battle before he went to the battle. And Apostle Paul, he went unto them. And I believe he's like David. He said, the heathen countries are like beasts, and we ran unto them. And he went unto them. He's just doing what the Lord told him to do. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Don't just sit inside your churches and wait for the people to come in there. Just go into all the world. And he went into them. And usually go to the synagogue. He's given a chance to his people to get saved. And in the synagogue, the manner was, a rabbi's preacher passing by, they give him the opportunity to preach, and he used to take the Old Testament, and he used to preach God, Christ to them. And after they kicked him out, he goes to the Gentile, he goes to the street, he goes from house to house. He goes to any opportunity that he was doing. He did the same thing in Thessalonica. And he went into them, and three Sabbath reasoned with them from out of the scripture. This is done in Thessalonica. Look with me also in Berea, verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away with Paul by night, Simon Peter went into the synagogue of the Jews. Same thing. Like his manner. He went to the synagogue and to the Jews. Look with me also in Athens, verse 17. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout person in the market daily with them that met with him. He went to the synagogue. He went to the marketplace. He went wherever the people are, and he just went to them. And I believe that if we need to win the battle and we'll be effective in the Lord, to the Lord's work, we need to be bold. You say boldness is not, we're not created bold. We created all of us with fear. I'm one of them. But how God used to break the fear in my heart? Well, in my experience, God allowed me to two things happen to break the fear in my heart. The first one, he put godly man in my life. One of them is my pastor, Bud Calvert. Man, he just go to the front and he doesn't care what happened to him. He just tell us the way it is. And I used to watch him and said, I want to be like him. I want to be around him. I will just learn from him. And from his church, 35 churches was planted all around the country, all around the world. Why? He believed in church planting. He believed that we need to go out into the street, to the synagogue, to every place, boldly declare the word of God. But there's still something happening within me that I'm still not bold. I could do something. And 3 years ago, the Lord told me to go to the mosque and declare and give them the gospel package. And I told the Lord, you must be kidding. I go to the mosque. I'm not going to the mosque. If I do that in Lebanon, you're killed. And the burden's still there. You need to go. You need to go. You need to go. And stay there for 6 months. Every time I come to pray, just cannot pray. I need to go. And I told the Lord, I'll do it one time. And maybe the desire will go away. I went one time. Believe me, this is what changed my life. This is what break everything fear in my life. I stood in the front of the mosque. I said, whatever's going to happen, let it happen. In 1 hour, we distributed 750 packages. in a mosque, big mosque in D.C. area, about 2,000 people in that mosque every Friday. And we said, I thought, I wish we brought 2,000, could have gone. 98% of the people came and took the packages. All my, it's not just the Lord just put gospel package in their hand. He just worked in my life that break all fear. So he placed people in your life just to be bold like them. And he also he challenged you, do something for me to be bold. And once that changed my life. That's something that, Lord, and I was crying and said, forgive me for being so dumb sometimes. I don't understand what you're doing in my life. And we start going from one mosque to mosque. We visit over 100 mosques in D.C. area around the country. Going to them and standing in front of the mosque. And the greatest joy. It's not that you're replacing them. It's just inspire people. Inspiring people, they may not go to the mosque, but they go to the guy in 7-Eleven and just give them the gospel package. Yes, we need to be bold. And sometimes we say, well, I could do prayer walking around the mosque and it'll work. And I don't misunderstand me. I love prayers and prayer works. But I'm not called to just do prayer walking. I'm called to declare the gospel. And you could do prayer walking as much as you want, but you need to do the next step. Boldness, we're not created bold. I'm not bold, but you could be around people that inspire to be bold. And you could be around people pull you down to be like them. Oh, let's hide ourselves and let's do this. And let's. There's people encourage you and there's people discourage you. You choose what you want to be. If you want to follow the example of the Apostle Paul, you have to be a bold soldier. You say, it may cost me. Think about it. What's going to cost you? Does it going to cost your life? Praise the Lord. You be with him in heaven. And believe me, in heaven is better than here. Better than here. Better than this fighting with sin, fighting with all. Better than all that. That's the most it's going to cost you. And if you tell the devil that, and the devil's, what people is going to say about you? What about if you lose your life? Or what about your kids? And when we started going to the mosque, we used to put the address of our church. And 3 weeks later, they put a bag of blood in front of my house. Me and my wife, we sit down and said, what are we going to do? And she asked me, is this, you believe in what you're doing? I said, yeah, I believe in what we're doing, and it's the Lord's. I said, let's keep doing it. But I love my wife. I love my kids. But I love my Lord even more. And you have to be determined. This is what you need to be. You need to be bold in order to be effective. And if you're not bold, your effectiveness is going to be very limited. And you pass through life very, very much influence on others. The second one, Paul declared the gospel. He didn't come with a message that close to the gospel. He didn't say something that, let's be friendship evangelism. We spend the whole days just friends and we could, at the end of the day, one day I'll share the gospel with you. He just gave it to them the way they are. Well, they may not like you. It's okay. They may not reject your message. It's okay. But I want to do the right thing. I want to declare the gospel to them. Look with me in verse 3. Open an allegiance that Christ must need have suffered. This is his message was. And risen again from the dead. And that Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. His message was fourfold. His message, the first one, Christ suffered. Christ died, Christ rose again, and Christ is the only way, is the Messiah that you need to believe on. Christ suffered, Christ died, Christ rose again, and Christ is the only answer that you have. This is the core of the gospel message. It doesn't have to have genius to say this. And there have many ways to come to this, and I'm not saying there is only one way to share the gospel, but there is you need to get to the core. By preaching the gospel clearly and boldly to the people. And he goes to Berea also. And there he preached the word of God. And the word of God speak about Jesus and his plan of salvation. And what a great city, Berea. Great harvest. The people receive the word of God and start searching the scripture. And they find out Jesus is really the true Messiah that Paul preaching about. And he went also to Athens. He also preached the resurrection and preached the gospel. Preach that Christ is the only way to salvation. So we have to have the message. You have to be bold. You have to have the message. And the third one, and this is tough, you have to endure hardship. You have to endure. If you're going to say one day, I'm quitting, and this is half of the message, whatever you're doing, you could be bold. You could share the gospel. But if you are a quitter, you're not going to be able to finish well. And my heart desire and my prayer every day, Lord, help me to finish well. But really, I want to finish well. And if you think that I'm going to bring shame to your name, just take me. Because it's better to finish well, not bringing shame to his name. And he endured hardship. Do you know that before you go to minister to Muslim, I believe you have to do one thing. You have to count the cost. Jesus said, if someone, you need to count the cost. And he gave us two parables. The first one, a man building a tower. And the second one, a man waging a war. And after he said that the two parables, he said you need to do two things. The first one, you need to sit down. Don't stand up, because once you stand up, you may have calculation wrong. And the second one, you need to count the cost. And if you want to minister to the Muslim people, you need to count the cost. You need to sit down. You need to think that what's going to happen to you, what's going to happen to your family, what's going to happen to your ministry. And you need to say, am I willing to pay the price? And if you're not willing to pay the price, with all humbleness, I'm saying to you, just hang it out, because you're going to quit somewhere in the line later on. It's better not to start. Then start and later on say, I'm quitting. Please, don't misunderstand me, but I'm saying we need to count the cost when we go. Yeah, there is persecution. Expect persecution. Expect hardship. But there is a great reward. The Apostle Paul, he goes from one city, he was thrown to another city. And he goes there. He didn't take a vacation just to rejuvenate his power. He just went the second day to another city. Same scenario. He was thrown to another city, and he was going to another city. He kept going. He was encouraging himself. And you see, sometime in his lowest point of discouragement in Athens, he was preaching alone, no friends around him. He's a friend. He left him in Berea. And Timothy, he was at Thessalonica, and he was alone in Athens, and he's preaching the gospel alone. He didn't have wife sometime to stand behind him and encourage him. He didn't have a friend. He didn't have anybody. But one thing, the Apostle Paul, he have something that you have and I have. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, the Lord stood with me. And he said, Paul, don't be afraid. Why the Lord said don't be afraid? Because Paul was afraid. He said, I have many people in this city. And keep preaching the gospel. And sometime in your lowest point, you're going to come to the Lord, and he's going to come behind you and pat in your back and say, son, keep going. You're doing the right thing. I know you're discouraged. And sometime he'll find you people to lift you up. And after Athens, he went to Corinth, and he found two friends, Aquila and Priscilla. And he went with them, and they refreshed Paul's soul. My friend, we need to be bold for the Lord. My friend, we need to declare the gospel. We don't need to hide our gospel. We can have many ways to communicate the gospel, but we could learned from the Apostle Paul. In the synagogue, for example, in synagogue, he established the Apostle Paul common ground by appealing to Jewish history and Old Testament scripture. With the farmers at Lystra, he spoke of God's control of the season. With the philosopher in Athens, he quoted their own poetry. He took the truth they already know and established report. He brought many ideas, but he went cross to the gospel. If you die today, they told him, if you die without the gospel, you're going to hell. And Christ is the only person that you need. And he reasoned, he discussed, he argued, and he confronted. And the result was, in every city was a church that was planted. He used to go to the big city, and the churches was planted and go to around places around the city. My friend, we're called to such a place is the Muslim world. Like I said, it's a beast. And it's not easy to minister to them. And there's a lot of discouragement along the way. And there's a lot of spiritual warfare. And I'm not telling you something to discourage you. I'm telling you something to be determined like the Apostle Paul. What I'm telling you, I'm telling myself daily. Just be determined, Tony. Just do the right thing. Things doesn't look sometimes going the right, but do the right thing. And fruit will come. Church will be planted. People will be saved. And also, people will be challenged by people when they see you and encouraged by your life. Let's make an effect to the Muslim world. It's not by words. We could speak as much as you want, but do something. Do something to impact the Muslim world. Just be bold. And if you're going to spend your life just praying on the mission field and do this, I believe this is not, you're not going to be effective to the Lord. Church planning. We could help church planning in our ministry. We could bring them Bibles. We could bring them encouragement. But we need to go to the front line. Like David, he was ran into Goliath. And he said, I will fight you. I will fight you not by my own strength, in the name of the Lord. And the battle is already won because he won it 2,000 years on Calvary. We just need to reclaim that victory. May God help you and help me to be effective tool like the Apostle Paul. Amen.